Hi, and welcome to episode one of Digital Outbox. My name is Ian.
Hi, I'm Shaquille, and we're both really excited to bring you our podcast, which will cover the latest tech news from all around the world.
Indeed, super excited and super nervous. It's the first time we've done this, first time we've podcasted, and hopefully you'll find it quite interesting.
Yep, it'll be a huge learning curve for us, but we hope to polish it up for you over the coming weeks, and it will just get better.
Well, I hope so. So, let's crack on with some news.
Okay.
Something that caught my eye today, and it's really relevant to UK users. It's all about mobile phone privacy. So there's a website that launches on, I think it was June 18th? June 16th? I can't quite remember the actual date it's launching. And basically, they've bought up a whole load of personal details alongside your mobile number, and they've put a web front end on it. And you can search for somebody's name and their town, and it'll return back. If they find a hit, they'll return back their mobile number, which I just hate things like this, you know. And it's like, there's not been any notice of this whatsoever. It's just come out of nowhere, from my perspective anyway. Or you can also phone up, and if they get a hit, if they return the number, they charge you a pound.
Now, charge who a pound? The person who's searching for this information.
Yeah. So if you phoned up and you're looking for my mobile number, and then they say, oh yeah, we can find Ian, they give you the number, charge you a pound. Now there is a couple of things you can have a look at, and I guess our show notes on our website, and we'll put the links in for where to go. But if you go to 118800.co.uk, that is the actual site for the service. You can go to the privacy policy, and right at the bottom, there's a section 8 on becoming ex-directory. So you can text the letter E to 118800 from your mobile phone, and that'll mean you're ex-directory, which I would highly recommend for anybody to do.
So everybody has to specifically opt out of this?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's included. That's awful.
Yeah, and I don't know, they've not actually said where their information's come from either. And
who's backing this company?
Don't know. No idea.
They just started up.
Yeah, I mean, they've basically named themselves as 118800. If you want to, want more information about them, then you have to contact through there. And I saw a couple of articles. It was on Times online today, it appeared. And they're claiming it already contains millions of mobile numbers and their user details. I hate things like this that come out of nowhere, seem to have too much information, and definitely people should be opting out.
Well, I'm not happy about this at all.
So have you texted?
No, not yet. I will do this after we finish the podcast.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I've already done it. The only thing, again, that really hacks me off, you have to wait up to... It takes 4 weeks up to have your details removed.
That's typical, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move on. I think we'll briefly cover about the E3 that happened earlier this week. Or was
sure.
it last week?
It was last week. You're getting old.
Time flies. Okay, I guess Microsoft had a really good show, didn't they? Lots of exciting new games, lots of new future projects.
Yeah. But for me, they came out of nowhere because I wasn't expecting much, and they had Project Natal and that whole motion controller thing, which,
yeah.
I mean, both them and Sony looked to be trying to catch up or overtake Nintendo.
I think after the initial hype of the motion controller by both companies, when you just sit back and think about it, they're still quite far away from a proper product being released.
Yeah.
So, we'll wait and see. They both look really good. Personally, I think I prefer the Sony version because it'd be nice to have more control in your hand. But in some ways, I think the Project Natal is probably a better option as well.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only thing I would say, being a lazy gamer, I just don't fancy like using hands all the time to control. And fair enough,
exactly,
I can pick up a joypad,
yeah.
But it's like, yeah, the whole idea of like hands moving around and like controlling a menus. I don't know. I just
feel like a pansy, don't you?
I don't know. I just want to pick up a pad, navigate to where I want to go, and that's it. There's a couple of nice things in there. I actually thought the thing I really liked about the Sony one was you could have dual controllers. Yeah. You know, I'm thinking things like, imagine God of War 3, and you've got these two controllers, and you're controlling the swords.
Yeah. You know, I found their sort of live demonstration a bit more convincing than the Xbox one.
Yeah.
I think with the Xbox one, there was quite a lot of pre-recorded videos, so you can't really tell.
It was pre-recorded, and there was no release date. It was only, like, we're shipping this out to devs, and certainly... I mean, looking at Engadget and Gizmodo, they visited they said they'd design behind the scenes tour, and it was all very convincing, and they thought it was superb. But Sony at least came out with, I think they said spring 2010.
Yeah.
Whereas Microsoft were very uncommittal.
Yeah. No, I mean, all in all, it was, I think, quite an exciting time for gamers.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that PSP Go, but.
No, I mean, I think both of ourselves had about. Sort of old school gamers now, and maybe handheld gaming doesn't excite us as much as it used to. The fact is, you know, it's not in terms of like hardware specs, not that much superior to the standard PSP. It just has a slidey screen, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I mean, it almost looks like they just try to answer the iPhone. You know, here's a smaller device, and it's not even that small, but it's a smaller device. There's no UMD, which they should have dropped. You know, ages ago.
It's a huge benefit not having UMD.
Oh, I hate... That was one thing, and I remember when I got it first, I was like, this is just another mini disc. You know, just knew it was you knew it was going to fail. You know, and you got Spider-Man 3, and you're just like, this is going to suck so much. And it did.
Bitter taste, eh? You mini discs both of us.
Oh. Well, the thing, and it still winds me up, and I know I'm going to... I know I'm deviating. The thing that winds me up was I bought that Sharp mini disc player for £300. And about two months later, you bought it for 150. Early adopter, and we'll probably come on to early adopters later on. But that still stings, and that was what 10-15 years ago now.
Mm. So, any games that excited you at E3 by Microsoft? Any of the exclusives?
Well, I love Halo, so the two Halo games. You know, I'm really looking forward to them. Mm-hmm. I just can't wait to play them. Actually, I think they'd be really good. Forza 3. I love racing games, but there's been a real lack of quality racing games. I think everybody's chasing after the easy to play arcade type market, which isn't me.
It's good to see Alan Wake make another appearance after like 20 years since the last one.
I'm just not sure about that. I mean, I think we were talking about it earlier, and you thought, you know, like Silent Hill.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of feeling, and I don't know.
One thing I didn't catch was, is that an Xbox exclusive now? Because I thought...
Yeah, no, it's Xbox only.
Well, a while ago they said it was going to come out on the PS3 as well, didn't they? And
I didn't catch that. I've always assumed, because it was Microsoft are constantly talking it up, I just assumed it was a Microsoft only. I'm just racking my brain. What was the other Microsoft ones that really stood out?
I'll tell you one thing that stood out for me, and it's not a hardcore game. It was this racing game, multiplayer. I can't remember the name for it now. Was it Fuel, maybe?
Oh,
it's sort of a cartoony-type racing game.
Oh, no, it wasn't Fuel. I know the one you're on about. They're saying it's like a free download, and then you're going to be able to do...
Yeah, that's the one.
I can't remember what it's called.
That could be quite good fun.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think the fact that they're making it a free download, it was interesting because Sony have got one that's a similar type thing, Mod Nation Racers.
And, that's the one. Yeah.
Have you seen the demo? Did you watch the video?
I've seen the Xbox demo, but I've not seen the Sony one.
Well, they're two different games. Xbox have got a different game to this Mod Nations Racer, but Mod Nations Racer very much like a Little Big Planet for racing games. And they did a 5-minute build a track, so they actually built a track. And you're driving a little digger, and you actually gouge out the track. And then you can, you know, quickly throw in trees and stadiums and other objects. You've instantly got a track, and you can then go and share. So it's very much like, you know, Little Big Planet, and create a level, throw it up, share it with other people.
Okay.
Looked really
Sounds
nice.
Good.
And I guess the other one, if we're drifting onto Sony, Uncharted 2.
Oh,
and
my
God. I keep telling people that, you know, PS3, I mean, I've got the PS3 and I've got the 360. And if I had to pick a gaming platform, I'm always going to pick 360
Xbox.
At the moment. Yeah. But Uncharted 2, Uncharted, I thought was an excellent game on the PlayStation when it first came out.
Yep.
And a lot of people, I think, overlooked it. It was just another Tomb Raider type, but it was so much better.
I think it's just the way the sort of some of the action scenes flow together with real proper gameplay, because, you know, sometimes some of the action scenes look like if you were watching on a video, you'd think it's just all pre-rendered stuff.
Yeah.
You wouldn't expect any sort of interaction between the user, and the way they've sort of combined that is quite good fun.
Yeah, I mean, I still think there's games that are guilty of almost going into a, you know, like a widescreen mode, and you can see the bars, and you just feel like, well, I'm not in control, and you start moving, and you can't do anything. But it looked really, and I mean, fair enough, it might play differently. But that was, I just thought that was an excellent, you know, for
a really good demo.
For a keynote game, I just thought it was superb. And God of War 3, you know, again, graphically, both those games, they looked maybe just a step above Xbox, which is the
definitely.
First. I think that's the first kind of games I've seen that really do look to be pushing ahead now. Yeah.
I think, I mean, no one can deny that the Xbox has been a better games machine overall. Not in terms of, like, you know, it's just that it's got better games, it's just the quantity of games. So as a gamer's choice, it's the Xbox all the way through.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I think
PS3, yeah, go on.
No, for me it's quantity as well, but also the online experience.
Oh, fantastic experience, yeah.
You know, the fact you get a headset out the box, and fair enough, it's not Bluetooth or wireless, but headset out the box... you've got Xbox Live, you've got a massive community there, and the PS3 still to this day, it just isn't as smooth. You know, different voice standards, different voice levels, people breaking up, people with no voice. I mean, Killzone 2, I mean, it was released, what, 3-4 months ago? There's only a patch in the last couple of weeks that's letting you actually play with friends easily. I mean, I tried to play with 3 or 4 people one night and we just couldn't do it. And it was like an hour of going into the chat things and actually typing out, and it's like, oh, I just wanted to put on my 360, invite them into the chat room in 360 and talk via that and play on the PS3. That would have been easier. And it's a horrible, horrible experience.
I think even the sort of interface of the PS3, that cross-media browser, it just seems so dated compared to the Xbox one.
I quite like it.
It just doesn't... Well, I think it's nice and simple, but in terms of like the visual impact that somebody gets when they come into the Xbox interface, you know, like sliding through different panels. Oh, it's changed now. Anyway,
it's changed, I guess that was an interesting thing last year that the 360. I thought I had the better front end, and they actually stepped up again and changed it. I was a little bit worried about the avatars and where that was going, but they don't get in the way at all. You know, you can just really ignore them.
Yeah, I mean, Sony have obviously brought out this home thing, which I think, for what it is quite good, but it just seems so disconnected from the sort of cross-media browser. It's like you're having to launch something else and then wait for it to load up. And then I just go in. It looks brilliant, you know, nice graphics and all that. But I just think, what is the point of this? I just don't get it at all.
For me, it's a total turn-off. And I don't know, we've had this discussion loads before.
It's almost like I want to be a game, but I'm not really a game.
Yeah, I just think they had a big, massive team working on this, and I keep on thinking it's another way of making money at some point. You know, but downloadable content you need to pay for, and just when it first launched, you know, you need to buy a house, you need to buy furniture, you need to buy a telly. I don't want to buy anything. No, focus on what a core gamer wants, but I think they're possibly chasing after a different market. You know, and maybe those middle-aged guys aren't that market. But suck. Anyway, there is one company we've not mentioned, which is good old Nintendo.
Well, should we mention them?
I think briefly. They're doing nothing for me right now. I don't have a Wii, and I've got no intention of ever buying one, to be honest.
Well, do you remember, like, in the days of the 16-bit consoles, we both thought, you know, Nintendo were kings. Good quality games.
Super Nintendo. I still remember you bought that in import, and I came around in Super Mario World and Ghosts and Goblins.
Super Mario World and Super Ghosts and Ghosts.
Oh, Ghosts and Ghosts it was. Oh, fantastic.
Mind-blowing.
And then
I remember that Contra 3 came out. It was just such an amazing game for its time.
And I still think back to Pilot Wings and all those classic games and Bomberman.
Super Tennis.
Bomberman. I mean, four-player Bomberman was... I know you didn't play it too much, but certain people at uni I was with, that was the game. That was the game. So now, I mean, it's like you look at their keynote and it was, well, there's Mario Galaxy 2, which... looked pretty underwhelming for me. Metroid, which it seems to be Team Ninja that's doing this, but again, it's just another rehash. It looks, you know, where's the Where are they moving us on? And then it was this Vitality add-on for Wii. It just looked really lame compared to other two.
And to be honest with you, I skipped the whole Nintendo conference. I briefly just read some of the blogs just to pick up a few bits and points.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that stood out for me was the new Mario game. There was some big deal about it. I think it doesn't have online play or something like that. Somebody was making a big deal about it.
Well, I'm pretty sure the Mario game, or the actual Mario Galaxy, doesn't have it, but they're doing a Super Smash Brothers that has four player, cooperative type game. The whole thing is just not for me, unfortunately. And that's the only thing that puts me off things like the tile and the motion control on the PS3. I feel it's the words gimmick still spring to mind with them.
I mean, as you know, I bought the Wii when it came out initially, but I think what sort of it's a social machine, isn't it? You need multiplayer games, and you need people with you to play them. But I think for me, the biggest
we're sad and lonely, basically.
I have lots of friends, thank you.
My main gripe
was they just missed an opportunity with HD output. There's no HD output, and you know, on my 50-inch plasma screen, it looks rubbish. Even with a component cable, it just doesn't look good enough. And I think, why couldn't they not add that in? It's not a big deal.
I still remember when you bought it, and I'll be honest, I loved Wii Sports. That first time playing it, you know, we got a lot of enjoyment out of it. You know, we had a couple of non-gamer friends that came down as well. I think they eventually picked up the Wii, and they loved it as well. And I think that was obviously the market they were chasing after, but...
Yeah.
But
you ask them, do they still play it? And they probably say, no, they don't.
And I know a couple of guys that I work with. How you going on with the Wii? It's boxed up. Even Wii Fit. A couple of people bought Wii Fit. But again, it's very much an 80-quid gimmick, unless you're willing to commit to it. For us, anyway. I'm sure there's people out there that are loving it. But not for us.
Yeah. So, I mean, overall, so Nintendo didn't really impress either of us, did they?
Not really.
I'm sure for the younger folk, there'll be really some exciting stuff there, some good games coming out, but I don't know.
I'm even sure that if I was playing Mario Galaxy, I would enjoy it, you know, because the Mario games usually are just, you know, really good to play. But I wouldn't go and buy a console for a game anymore.
Mm. Okay, so what have we got for us next?
Briefly, Pampri. And I'm saying briefly because it's out in the States last weekend. It looks on paper and certainly in the video reviews to be probably the closest to an iPhone competitor.
Yeah.
Most of the reviews, in fact, all the reviews were really positive about it. Someone was bordering in fanboyism, which I said I wouldn't mention. But I think there was a real desire by a lot of blogs to try and put a competitor up against iPhone, you know, and stop almost like the obsession with an iPhone. And a lot of people are just praying for this to be this must be better or at least as good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know why, but there are a lot of iPhone haters out there. I'm not sure why.
I never understand this. I mean, I can understand hating or disliking a company, you know, if you've been, I don't know, in some way wronged by them or you get really bad service from them. But some people just universally will hate a certain brand. You know, so like there's a universal hatred of Microsoft, universal hatred of Apple by the people that just don't buy into what they believe is Apple hype. And it's like, well,
lot of that's just mob mentality, isn't it? You know, they hear somebody come up with a quirky remark and they think, oh, that sounds good, I'll join their camp.
Aye. And I mean, there's that, I don't know, I just, for a lot of the things, you know, and we'll focus on Apple next, but, you know, for us, I guess we are switchers in the last 2 to 3 years to Apple. Me earlier than you. You certainly kind of a bit picky at me at first, saying, "Ah, you're fanboy," and you know, you've. And I guess it's once you try the product, try the product. And I mean, I know right now none of us would switch away from Apple. But the Pampri, I think it looks lovely. I used to own a Palm VX. I used to own. I loved it.
You certainly made me buy a couple of models, didn't you? I used them for about a month and then...
Yeah, I used them for more than a month. I mean, I thought the graffiti interface on them was superb. And, absolutely loved them. But then they just didn't develop. It just stagnated as a platform. And I really want to actually... I want to buy one. I want to use one. Obviously, I can't afford to and I wouldn't just go and buy one. But it's looking like it's Christmas here. And it's looking like it's O2. So yet again, exclusive to one of the phone providers here.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think the reviews I read, they were all very positive. I think the only thing that a lot of them said was the keyboard, which was better than the BlackBerry ones in some ways, but just keys were too small for most people, I think. And I think just maybe the build quality could have been a little bit better than what it was.
Yeah, and that's certainly what I was seeing. And also, I think there's some doubts about battery life, but the first iPhone was exactly the same.
Yeah.
Certainly for a version 1 product, it looks a better product than version 1 iPhone.
What was interesting was, I think some, in one review I read, they said they opened up, you know, like several apps, and the thing just crashed because it couldn't handle it. I guess that shows you why Apple have been quite strict with how many apps you can have open at any one time. They've been slagged off about it, but I guess, you know, common sense. If you've got a mobile device, there's only so much it can handle at any one time.
Yeah, well, I think Apple have went for simplicity, and rather than giving you some ways of managing applications and memory, you know, if you look in Windows Mobile and it's telling you how much is left and you can blah, 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 do this and that to free up memory, they've just said no apps. I'd rather have the choice, I've got to be honest. You know, I'd rather be, in certain occasions, if I want to run an app and I know there's a performance hit and I know it means I can't go and run a game or something else, let me do it. That's the only frustration sometimes. Moving on. I don't know if you've tried Windows 7.
I have it running on my Mac.
Aha, are you using,
but I've not really used it that much.
Are you using Bootcamp or are you VM?
No, VMware.
Ah, right, okay. I've got it installed and I've gone via Bootcamp. I just wanted to actually see it without any, you know, virtualization, although the virtualization is really good. Via Bootcamp, I'm so impressed with it. I just think it's the... I use XP all day at work. I'd love to obviously probably use something different, like a Mac. But Windows 7, I just think they really have thought about, you know, improving it, making it more usable. A lot of the things that annoy me about Vista have been removed. There's a lot of the security options just seem to be toned down. And they've also got a release date, so it's now out on October 22nd. So I think that's a really...
It's quite quick, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't know, I think there is a change with Microsoft. I think they are making an effort. You know, we've got Bing.com, which I think is actually a pretty good search engine, and you've got Windows 7. I think they really are stepping up, and you've seen the Laptop Hunter adverts. I really do think they've made an effort to just maybe try and not reboot, but certainly fresh start for some of their products, or try to give them a different edge.
I don't know. I mean, like you, I also use Vista at work, and
Glad I don't use Vista. I use XP, and I know that's probably a bit behind, but I'm glad I don't use Vista.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely hate it. It's, I don't want to get into the details, but it's not really that good. From what I've tried on Windows 7, it looks really nice, and can't wait for our work machine to be upgraded to it. I don't know if that will happen right away, but fingers crossed.
No, definitely. It'll be a nice update. I think even for the people that I know with Vista at home, I mean, I've helped a couple of people because I've had real issues with it. And it's a brand new laptop, and it's just horrible. You know, and there's no extra software on. It just feels really... Not that nice.
Yeah.
But anyway, enough of the hate. I guess.
So main feature then, eh?
Yeah, WWDC? I mean, it's kind of hard to avoid. We both have Macs, we both have iPhones, so any of the kind of Apple keynotes are always anticipated and followed far too keenly. So yeah. I thought it was fairly long. It was a couple of hours yesterday.
It was, yeah.
And I guess there was a lot said, but none of it really surprising. It's not, I mean, if I think back the first time iPhone was announced, it seemed to come out of nowhere. Everybody talked about a phone every keynote and it never happened. And then when they finally did the iPhone launch, it was just, the press they got was amazing. But will we take a spin through the announcements from yesterday?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, first up was the MacBook Pros.
Yeah.
So the 17-inch was updated earlier this year to have the larger battery, and that's now in the 15 and 13-inch, which I think's, for me, I think that's really good.
Good call.
Yeah, I like that option. And there'll be haters out there saying, "Oh, you can't swap a battery," but you know, you're going to get. I mean, they're saying 7 hours. I'm guessing real world you're going to get what, maybe 5-6 hours. I don't think that you'll get seven. I mean, I've never met what they say at the moment. You know, I'm always at like an hour, maybe an hour and a half off what they say they can get. SD card slot, I was quite surprised at.
Yeah, I know some people have complained about that. They say they'd rather have a PCMCIA slot, or whatever you call it.
Mm.
But I don't know. I mean,
the
SD card would be more useful for most people.
I think so. But I thought, if you're going to put an SD card, at least put compact flash on as well. You know, just to try and cover off a couple of formats at least. I know they're saying that SD seems to have won some sort of format war, but that sounded a bit of bull to me. I don't know, every different camera still to me uses slightly different flash formats. I've not seen any standardisation on that. But yeah, I thought the spec upgrades were quite nice as well, and also the fact it reduced the prices.
Yeah, you know, always a good thing.
Yeah, but very un-Apple like. You know, Apple have always been seen as being dearer, so it was at least a step in the right direction. And I've got to be honest, I think I'll be upgrading. I think I'll be picking up a new 15-inch MacBook Pro sometime this year.
Oh, nice one. I look forward to that.
Well, you got yours last year, didn't you? With the new design. And it's a lovely machine. I love the machine.
It really is, yeah. But, I mean, like you say, you're touching the battery there. I do, you know, I find it irritating. I'll be sitting there with my laptop and then I think, oh, better plug the cable in soon because the battery's about to die out. So yeah, I mean, new battery would be nice, but as far as the machine goes itself, you know, the unibody is fantastic. You know, can't fault it.
How have you found the screen? Because that's one of my worries, is just that glossy screen.
I don't mind it because you know, it doesn't bother me that much. I don't get that much reflection where I sit, so it's not a big issue. I can't imagine that being a problem for certain people. And I think some people just like to whinge.
you mean me?
We are one of those people.
Yeah, well, I've got a real thing about it because my iMac's not glossy and there's my MacBook Pro and I've just, I don't know, I have the fear.
Yeah, but your iMac's ancient.
It's not, well. It's 3 years old this September. Not that I've been counting and thinking about upgrading. But I've got the iMac and the MacBook Pro right now. I think if I was changing, I would get rid of both and just go for a laptop now, and get a decent screen for it, and do some sort of dual screen.
That's a good idea, actually.
Well, and I want rid of Mobile Me. I really do. And we'll touch on a couple of points in that later on. But Mobile Me really just hacked me off. That is Apple tax of the highest order. So, do you want to take us through some of the Snow Leopard features that were announced? I guess there's not many features, is there?
Not really. I mean, I think my impression was they were just trying to pad it out, you know, because there was so little exciting stuff to talk about that we just all, you know, we all tart up a little bit. Before I move on, I just realised the 13-inch MacBook.
Yeah.
That's going to have FireWire 800 now,
I meant to mention that as well. I think that's great. I mean, my external drives...
I think that's put off some people in the past before, hasn't it?
Well, a lot of people complained when they removed it. But also think the fact that they're now rebranding that MacBook Pro as well. So you've got a MacBook Pro, and I think... I can't remember how much that comes in it. Is it £900 or £1,000?
It's about $1,199, I think.
Well,
unless I'm mistaken.
While you're doing that, I guess I could just quickly go to Apple. Because I wouldn't want to be factually incorrect on our first show. So,
well, while you're doing that, I'll start off with the OS X Snow Leopard update.
Yeah, MacBook Pro from $899.
Oh, wow. Was that pounds then, is it?
Yeah. But that's a 13-inch. And you only get 2 gig of RAM. 160 gig hard drive, And it's the integrated graphics, but that's $899, and you're getting the backlit keyboard, FireWire 800.
That is a fantastic price, I must
admit. And to get that in with a unibody as well, I think the fact as well, having a smaller machine with that much power, I'm actually quite tempted to go for the 13 rather than the 15.
You are never going to go for a 13-inch.
No, I'm thinking...
You're not. Stop kidding yourself.
I'm not. I'm thinking 13-inch, and I'll get a, I don't know, 24 or 30-inch screen at 30 home.
30-inch cinema display.
Not a cinema display. No way would I ever buy a cinema display.
Okay.
You can. It's on record.
Still remember you walking into John Lewis a few years ago to buy your MacBook. And I was saying to you, I said, look, you don't need a Pro, just get a normal one. And you said, no, I want the Pro sticker on it.
That's not
the
true.
Pro one. Okay, anyway, we are...
Rambling
on. Yeah. OS X, Snow Leopard.
Yeah.
Rewritten. 90% of it has been rewritten now.
Yeah. I don't know how you felt, but when I heard that, I just thought, bugs. I just thought, nice stable platform.
I just thought, I don't care, as long as it works.
Yeah. Well, a lot of what they said I didn't care about. You know, I know it's a developers conference, but they went through a whole load of things, and I just wanted the guy to say, we've made it faster.
Yeah.
You know, just, we've made it faster, and we've made it more efficient. Next.
I mean, the fact they say that a lot of the key apps like Finder and Mail, they've rewritten them in Cocoa now instead of whatever they had before.
Mm.
Like, and you know, doesn't mean that much to most people. So,
well, most folk don't care. No, yeah. They just want to see a nice, sleek, reliable operating system, and that's certainly what OS X is right now. And that was only one. And they said, we've rewritten all this. You're like, oh, here we go. You know, and I just want something reliable. Although one thing I did think was quite interesting was one change was Exposé built into the dock. And if you've used Windows 7 and you've got that kind of peak functionality, you'll notice that's a kind of answer to Windows 7.
Hmm.
And there's, I don't know, I mean, they kind of gave Windows a bit of a bashing yesterday. Right?
They did, didn't they?
No, they really wanted to ram home things like, you know, it's at 7's Vista in disguise and all that kind of stuff. But they really did kind of focus a bit too much on that, I think.
I kind of got the impression that it was almost like, because they know that Windows 7 is going to be it's a big sort of upgrade to Vista in terms of like reliability and it's supposed to be faster. I think they were like, you know, because they don't have that many features in Snow Leopard.
It's a big upgrade, Windows 7, but also it's actually got slightly new ways of working. And I think it will change how people perceive Windows. I think there are features in there that OS X don't have. You know, there's some things that I think work better in Windows 7.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, I got the impression it was almost like they were scared a little bit.
Yeah.
The number of features that are coming out.
But the good thing was at least they didn't charge blooming $129 or whatever.
Oh, I was quite surprised at that.
Oh, there was no way they would get away with that.
Yeah. So, other things, 6 GB... disk space will be claimed back.
Yeah, I thought that was quite nice. You know, I don't think I've seen an upgrade to any operating system yet that's actually freed up space. And Safari 4, which actually came out yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, I don't use Safari. I use Firefox purely because I want my bookmarks synced.
Yeah.
Between work, home, and laptop. And, I guess the only thing is Xmarks now supports Safari, so I'm actually going to try swapping over to Safari because Firefox.
Well, I've been using Safari since day one purely because of the iPhone thing and syncing
for
my bookmarks.
The bookmarks, yeah.
Bookmark syncing,
yeah.
But recently, I tried using Foxmarks or Xmarks as it's called. It worked quite well initially, but after a few weeks, I started noticing issues between different machines. Like bookmarks being overwritten by one machine and the other, and you know, weird folders appearing that I hadn't created.
Maybe I've been lucky then. I mean, I'm going between work laptop, iMac, and it's iMac, Firefox, and Safari, and the Firefox and Safari on the MacBook Pro, and I've not had an issue. Touch a bit of wood, but
So other than that, have there been any particular reasons you've not been using Safari? Is it just been because
purely,
of the bookmark
purely
thing?
Bookmark, and there were some extensions. So I'm using Firebug and a couple other extensions within Firefox. But Safari performance, even just today, has been really good compared to Firefox. And also, Firefox will crash. You know, it's not the best. You know, from a stability point of view. And fair enough, that could be the extensions, you know, so it's maybe a wrong pointing the finger at Firefox. But it's just not as stable as I'd like it to be. But yeah, I thought $29, family pack being $49. So for us with multiple machines, I mean, hopefully that'll be, what, maybe £30, £40?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't mind paying that.
Thing is, if it's $29 in America, do you think it's going to be like £40 here?
Well, no, it'll be £28.99 here.
Shocking.
I'd love to know how they work it out and justify it. Yeah. I mean, they're not as bad as, like, you know, there's other companies like Adobe are just shocking for, you know, dollar to pound conversion. You know, it just increases. So, I guess the biggie for us anyway was all the anticipation of a new iPhone.
I was panicking a bit towards the end because I thought this keynote's going to be over quite soon and they still haven't brought any new hardware.
I noticed it on Twitter. I noticed a couple of people on Twitter going, there's no iPhones tonight, no iPhones tonight. It's like, keep the faith.
Keep the faith. You've got to keep the faith.
We need to get you singing more on the podcast. The first bit was, I don't know, there wasn't too much to it. There's now more than 50,000 apps in the App Store, which we all, we use it all the time, and it's kind of obvious now. OS 3.0, I don't think there was anything new that they mentioned yesterday. Maybe the video store on iTunes, I don't think they'd mentioned before, but I think it leaked out that it was coming.
Yeah, I think the only new thing that for me was that audio thing that they mentioned.
Audio thing?
You say, like, play me all tracks by Kasabian, and it plays them all for you.
Yeah, but is that not the new hardware, not the new software?
Are you sure? Is that not a software update?
I think that's hardware. We'll come on.
You kidding me?
No, I think that's hardware. We'll come on to it. I think it is. Yeah, I mean, I think there was the new things I've already mentioned, the video rentals and stuff. There was also the Find My iPhone, Mobile Me.
I think it's good in principle, but I thought it might be a bit gimmicky.
Yeah, and I touched on Mobile Me. I just hate paying for Mobile Me. I just look at what I get out of it now, and
I can't believe how tight you are. I mean, you spend
tight.
Money left, right, and centre everywhere else.
Get a grip! It's not being tight. I mean, the first time I bought it, and it was for syncing, so it was for keeping my two Macs in sync, and the syncing did work really well. And yeah, you get some iDisk space, but to be honest, I'm using Dropbox. I've actually moved all the apps that I sync via Mobile Me over to using Dropbox. And it's maybe something for another, might even be a first video podcast at some point, that we do a little tutorial just on how that's been set up and what can replace Mobile Me. Because that's, what is it, £60, £70 a year?
Yeah.
And that's an Apple tax I'm gladly not going to pay this year.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I don't really use iDisk for anything.
No.
But yeah, I use it mostly for syncing as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, I thought it was, I mean, the Find My iPhone, and part of me at first was quite, I thought it was quite gimmicky, but then I guess it's a nice feature, but it should be a feature that's just available. I mean, to throw it in against Mobile Me just seems a really odd decision. And something not announced at the keynote, but they've also, with the OS 3.0, they're going to bring out an iDisk app for your iPhone, which is free, so you can access your iDisk on your iPhone. But there's already apps that are free that allow you to do that anyway. So it was like, well, wow. So I don't know if you watched any of the demos yet. I saw some screenshots.
With the developer demos.
Yeah. For me, there was too many.
Yeah.
I was getting a bit hacked off with them, and it was like, yeah, very good. I liked the one that I thought really stood out was the medical one. You know, so doctor away from hospital can see the patient's detail. I just thought it was superb.
No, I skipped most of them. I didn't interest me at all.
Yeah. And I mean, it was interesting that the two hardware ones seemed to fail.
Yeah.
So the...
Is that the one where Sawyer from Lost came on with his guitar?
Yeah, and kept on talking about, oh, it doesn't seem to be working. The demos are fine, I guess, but I think most people know what it can do now.
Yeah.
But that should be next Wednesday. That's out for everybody, mm-hmm. and it's free,
yep.
unless you're an unfortunate touch user and is going to have to pay for it.
Should we just run through some of the features then that people are already aware of?
We can.
Cut, copy and paste.
Bray. So landscape keyboard and all the main apps, which should have been there since day one, but finally it's there.
Definitely. For me, a biggie, MMS.
Oh, about time. Although I bet you O2 screws up with blooming MMS charges. We'll come on to O2 in a minute. My tone will change. The
changes all.
The spotlight search, I think, could be quite nice to have. So you left swipe on your home screen, and you've got a spotlight search, including mail and server, and you can also launch apps from there. Could be quite handy.
Yep. iTunes movie rental and purchase we've already covered, which I'm actually quite excited about. I don't know if I'll pay for anything, but it'd be nice to just have a quick preview to, you know, entertain myself.
I'm sure if it was porn, you'd pay for it. Anyway, better parental control.
I'll get porn for free, mate. Thanks.
I don't want to know. Speaking of porn, there's better parental control.
Yep. Tethering.
Yeah.
With Mac or PC.
Yeah. But it costs quite a bit. O2 fail yet again.
Again, it doesn't really interest me
that
much.
No. I think if we're travelling more, I mean, I'm maybe away once every couple of weeks with work. But I just don't get the time to really get fussed about it. Faster JavaScript. And better media streaming. So it'll be interesting because some of the media streaming I've been quite impressed with over 3G. I mean, the Sky News app, I think the quality you get off that is excellent.
It's very nice. Yeah. Autofill. Remember username and passwords for websites. I don't know. I mean, I use one password for that, so I guess that'll be redundant then.
I'm not too sure how much that's going to really. I mean, I guess it for favourite sites. Although as soon as I saw that straight away, I thought I'm going to have to put on my NumLock at the start. You know, it's the same with having things like the eBay app. I mean, if you don't put your NumLock on, somebody can pick up your phone and just buy. You know, and it's so that will definitely be a change. And HTML5 support. I was wondering if
that's good stuff.
Yeah, but I thought they might have showed a bit more because there was rumours of Google using Canvas and how they can really take advantage of it, and there was nothing. And I don't know whether we'll get anything later on in the week. I know Google are doing a conference tonight, right now, so I'm just wondering by the time we finish this podcast, there'll be more information on it.
Find my iPhone, which you've already covered, but one interesting thing, remote wipe.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, didn't they mention that ages ago?
Remote wipe's there, but it's more from the kind of business side of things.
Yeah.
Now you can do it from your Mobile Me page. And they also talked about there was going to be, which is related, the encryption. But I don't know if that was
hardware encryption.
Was hardware encryption the new one? I can't remember if that was the new one or not, the new hardware.
It is, yep.
Because as soon as I saw that, I thought, oh, we'll get that at work instead of BlackBerry's, but who knows. The peer-to-peer kind of sharing, not sharing, but connection with games, it looked really nice. And I can see me using that quite a bit, actually.
Mm. Do you remember that time we went and watched Dark Knight standing in the queue and we wanted to have a game of, what was it?
Oh, it was
Texas Hold'em or something like that, wasn't it?
We were trying and we couldn't do it. You know,
and we thought, Wi-Fi only.
You know, so to have that, I think that there's going to be so many games, I'm guessing, updated over the next sort of 2-3 months that will now support that. Then obviously there's a push notification coming as well.
Yep. You've got accessories now supported via dock connection, which could be quite interesting, I'd imagine.
Well, I guess, I mean, there was the demos, which I don't know whether they touched on, but TomTom, and the optional hardware for that, which seemingly improves, you know, it powers it, better GPS, and also does the voice dialing with that bit of hardware. And also was the Sawyer guy with his guitar amp, which looked quite nice, but it was
This TomTom thing, did they mention a price for that by any chance?
But
£100, please.
Well, the thing is that it's not going to be cheap, is it? They're not going to say, you know, well, here's all our software for, like, you know, $10, or you can buy our own hardware for £200. You know, they're not going to. I mean, it would just kill their sales instantly. So there's going to be a premium on it. It's going to be a premium. And that, I think that was really it.
That was it, yeah.
And then we got good old Phil back on stage to take us through the new iPhone.
Good old Phil.
You can't knock Phil. He's good. So 3GS, which I think as a name sucks.
Yeah.
So I'll go through a couple of things quickly. Same form factor. I'm guessing processor and memory upgrade, so it's a bit faster. And
I think it probably needed that, didn't it?
Yeah, some of the apps.
Yeah,
it can get a bit sluggish. It's got the updated HSDPA, which seemingly O2 doesn't support at that speed. So in America it's 7.2 meg, and I think here it's only 3.2 or 3.6.
Something like that. Yeah,
and I read today they've got some sort of rollout program for major cities. So O2 fail.
There
you go.
So we got what, 3 megapixel autofocus camera, which sounds really nice, but again, you know, it's almost like they're still holding back. You know, why can't they add 5 megapixel?
Well,
I just don't know.
From our point of view, Apple, they make really good products, but it's all incremental upgrades. You know, and for me, if you look at phones, I mean, we were, as this was happening last night, we were having our conversations, and it just felt like 2005. You know, it was like a Sony Ericsson phone announcement from 2005 with 3 megapixel cameras and voice dialing, and you know, just some of the things felt, I don't know, you just felt a little bit shortchanged from a hardware point of view. And I guess there were some nice features like auto exposure, auto light bands, and.
Yeah,
I mean, I hadn't seen you'd found the tap to focus at the weekend before it was launched.
Yeah, couple of websites had mentioned it, and I thought that was interesting. The only thing I'm not sure about is that again hardware only, or is that a software thing as well?
I think it's hardware only, because the current camera, I mean, it doesn't focus in at all close. You know, the hardware just doesn't let it. So I'm convinced it's hardware only. In fact, I know it's hardware only, it just won't do it. It's the same with they've got this auto macro, and they're saying you can take, you know, like business cards and scan barcodes now, which would be really nice. And obviously it does video.
Yeah.
So I think the video with the sharing options up to, you know, Mobile Me or YouTube. Wouldn't use it a lot, but, you know, be good to have.
Yeah. Yes, what else have we got? We've got voice dialing, yay. It's 9 to 99 again. And then, of course, we've got the voice control, which, when they started talking about it, I thought, it's a big deal. But then watching the guided tour afterwards, I thought, oh, put a smile on my face.
I wouldn't use it. I'm an old fart. I just want to pick what I play, and that's it. No, I mean, I'm going to be sitting at work. What am I going to say? Oh, play me Kasabian. And it won't pick up my accent. You know, you'll probably have to speak in some twatty American accent.
You still use 2 sticks to start a fire, don't you?
I am not the Luddite amongst us. And one thing, speaking of 2 sticks and fire, for my hill walking, which I've just started, the digital compass would be quite nice. So that, you know, you fire up the Maps app, at least it'll orientate it in the right way that you're facing. You know, so it's... Again, not essential, but you know, just a nice add-on. But I don't know, I just felt all a bit.
And you can show it to all the girlies while you're doing that. Look, I'm pointing north.
I've got other ways of showing them I'm pointing north. Thanks very much. But yeah, and, I mean, I'm guessing there was voiceover, Night Plus support. You know, I'm guessing actually the hardware, the improved battery would be nice as well. But capacity was increased, wasn't it?
Yep, and I think, you know, that would have been, well, that's a good feature for me if I was buying it.
Yeah.
You know, cause, well, I mean, 16 gig is quite good, but I need more now. I'm getting to that sort of point where I think, I want more.
Yeah. No, I would definitely be going for 32 gig rather than the 16. And the thing for me that I was really surprised at is out next week, June 19th.
Exactly, yeah, I was going to say the same thing. It's good news if you were going to buy it yourself, but, you know, if I'm not. But, yeah, very surprising.
So you're saying you're not going to buy it? Was that?
I can't.
Well, yeah.
Same as you.
No, right. So before we dwell too much, you know, too. Were you going to buy it before you found out about the O2 upgrade policy?
I was sort of intending to buy it depending on the price,
right?
The UK price. So yeah, I mean, about 90% sure I would have bought it, I think.
Right, okay. So UK prices are fairly steep, you know, so you're on a...
Extremely
steep.
You know,
so you can't get a yearly contract. 18 months, you're looking at, if you're paying 29 or 34 quid a month, which I'm guessing most people are going to go for, and I can't see many people jumping up to 44, you're looking at £274, which I'm...
That's for the 32 gig.
That's for 32
one,
gig. But I mean, it's $299 in America.
It
just does not add up. I don't know whether that's Apple or O2, but...
How much is a 16 gig one then?
The 16 gigs...
Is that about 170
185. Yeah, you know, it's just... So, and I guess the bit... The real news, or the real thing that overtook events last night, because I'll admit, I was kind of... I'm gadget-obsessed. Always like the latest gadgets, as you do. And was on Twitter. Some of my friends that I know on Twitter were like, yeah, we'll meet up at the Apple Store in Glasgow next Friday. We'll take the day off. We'll get on the iPhones. And a bit of me sitting there was almost like...
How old are you?
Not as old as you. And it was all going really well until O2 put the prices out and then started tweeting on their official... an official Twitter account saying that, you know, you're going to have to pay to upgrade. So I jumped on the phone, and when I phoned him up, it was a really, really bad experience on the phone, because the guy tried to sell me an 8 gig iPhone, first of all, and I'm like, I've already got an iPhone. Oh, right, why are you phoning? You know, so it was pretty cheeky. So then I took him through what's just happened and thought, look, they probably don't know, they've probably not been briefed. He went away for a couple of minutes and came back and says, hey, you're still on a contract. You're going to have to pay, you know, what's left in your contract. You're looking at £280.
That's because you've got 8 months.
So there's 8 months left. So anybody that's picked it up on the day, that's what you're paying right now. And I know there's some people saying they're getting quoted today £235 or £245. I'm guessing that's just assuming people are going to buy it next Friday. So you're into the next month, because I think everybody's will be. I think it was 11th of July it came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just I don't know. I think it was just the. Got to be honest, I was really hacked off last night because I just wanted to go and buy the phone, but I wouldn't pay that. I'm not going to pay £280 to buy off my contract. How I feel today is that it's a contract, the same as any other mobile phone contract. No, previously if I wanted to leave...
So to reiterate, you're going to have to pay £280 to come out of your contract,
and
you're going to have to pay £280, whatever, £270 for the actual phone.
Yep.
So you're looking at almost 600 quid, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, 600 quid. And I guess what annoyed me even more was the way the guy on the phone spoke to me. Just felt he was being...
Didn't he say something personal to you as well about what you'd done recently?
He was just being quite condescending. And I'll just leave it at that. He was just being quite condescending because he was like, you're going to have to buy out your contract and then we'll let you buy a new iPhone. And it was just the way he said, we'll let you buy. I was just like, you dirty sod.
I guess we feel bitter because when the 3G came out, O2 offered free upgrades, didn't they? They said, sign a new contract, all you have to do is pay for the phone. But now it's almost like they've got their hooks in.
Yeah. Well, they've come out today and said that the first iPhone wasn't subsidised. Now, I don't know how much the first... I mean, you bought the first one. I don't know if you can remember how much you paid. So they're saying the first one wasn't a subsidised phone. This one is, and that's why you need to honour your contract. Which, and I guess there's a couple of things. First of all, they don't offer yearly contracts. So they're only offering 18 months or 24. So what's happening now is going to happen next year. There's no way Apple aren't going to release a new iPhone every year. I think this is the trend from now on. Every June, July, there's going to be an upgrade to a new iPhone. Probably pretty incremental upgrades. Next year, we can already predict it'll be front-facing camera and an OLED screen, seeing as we didn't get any of that this year. So I don't know. I can sell the iPhone I've got right now. I mean, I've got a couple of people willing to probably pay off what I would owe contract-wise, and I could go and spend 300 quid myself, or the 270 next week, and buy it. But then it feels like I'm paying O2 for another 8 months, and then starting a fresh contract, and it's overlapping.
What's the new contract? Is it 2 years or is it 18?
18 months or 2 years again. So you can get, I mean, if you take a 24-month contract and you paid 35 a month, you'll get it for, you'll get 32 gig for 175.
Wow. But then that's 2 years. That means you don't get to upgrade next year.
Yeah. And that's the thing. See if they offered a £40 contract for 12 months. Mm-hmm. I would pick 12 months every time. Well, this is going to happen. We, you know what we're like? We want the latest gadgets. Whether it's in the cold light of day, it's a fairly small upgrade.
I know what you're saying, because, I mean, when I had the first gen and the 3G came out, for me, there was, you know, there was enough of a hardware update for me to buy it, which was mainly 3G.
Well, it was 3G.
GPS.
3G, GPS, 16 gig.
16 gig,
you know, so it's a fairly, you know, going from 8 to 16.
Because they were like, you know, they were one main things. But now it's like, I really want the new camera, because I hate the camera on the current iPhone 3G. Mm. Other than that, you know, like, for me, this, and obviously the 32 gig capacity, I can't really, there's not much of an incentive for me at the moment. I don't want to pay that much money just to upgrade. So I think what I'll do is I'll wait for the software update, see how many features we've got, and then sort of try to balance it out and see whether it's worth it or not.
Yeah. I just wish they'd maybe just given an inch on the contracts.
Mm.
You know, if they'd said something like, you know, £50 to break your contract or £100 to break your contract. You know, rather than turning around and say it's £280, it's the full term.
So how much are the iPhone 3Gs going for at the moment, second hand? Said you've been offered what?
There's a website which, again, I can't remember the name of off the top of my head, but you can actually just sell it directly on the website. So you select iPhone, and they're offering £200. So that's not even going through eBay. That's just directly on the website. You look on eBay, it seems to be between £250 and £350, depending on whether you've got a hot auction, is there anything else in there, is it already unlocked, have you done any of the jailbreaking on it. That seems to affect the price as well.
Right.
So there is, I mean, certainly. So I'm weighing it up. Do I just accept that's going to happen every year? You know, so every year I'm going to start a new 18-month contract. Every year I'm going to have to sell that phone and sell it for £200 or £300 to pay off the other 6 months, and that's just going to keep rolling on for every year. But £280 for a phone is a lot of money.
Maybe for the next episode we can do a little bit of a budget plan for people thinking of selling their existing 3G phone and getting a new one.
There's two or three websites out there now that you can just directly sell your mobile phone rather than going through eBay. And I know a lot of people use eBay, but there is quite a number now that feel quite uncomfortable using it. You know, because by the time you sell it, you've got all your PayPal fees on top.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Well, obviously, you know, I've sold quite a bit of stuff on eBay. And,
stuff.
Over the last few months, I've noticed how much more money they charge people. Now it's like they charge you, I think it's 10% on your final sale price.
Mm.
You sell something for £200, they'll be getting £20. That's on top of any other sort of listing fees they've charged you, which, you know, I wish I could swear, but I can't.
Well, you can, because I'll just change the tags on it to be explicit.
Yeah. Make it all flowery.
But yeah, that's the... So, I don't know. I'm mixed at the moment. I'm guessing I'm erring on the side of not picking one up, which I didn't think I would say, but that's the way I'm thinking right now.
Yeah. I think I'll probably hang fab for a little bit and then see how much I can get from my 3G phone and take it from there, really.
Yeah. Well, I'm just looking at the time. Even though we plan to finish after half an hour, we're almost at an hour mark here, which is...
I think, you know, we can say this was like an extended episode because the first one and WWDC.
Yeah, I mean, WWDC, there's a lot to cover. And hopefully in the future we'll be a bit slicker, a bit less time. I mean, the other thing I'd like to have done, and I hate to use the word picks because everybody else uses it, but there's like, I guess each week I would like to do some sort of recommendation of sort of software, hardware, gadgets, websites... You know that we're using.
Okay.
I just want to give a quick mention to one, which is another podcast, which I don't know if you've heard, MacBites.
So no, I have not.
MacBites.co.uk. It's a duo and again, I can't remember their names off the top of my head. I started listening to them last year. They've got a really good style, very laid back, really listenable, cover everything Mac related, but they're UK based, and so you get a different perspective than the usual American ones. And for the last 9 months, I've not done any, and I fired up the iPhone this morning, and there was a new one.
Oh, they must have heard about us.
And heard the Rivals were in town and thought we need to get back going. But no, I would definitely check them out. It's a really nice podcast. Anything you'd want to?
I think I like to throw in something a bit unusual. Wired magazine, which was launched in the UK about 3 months ago. And I don't know why, but I just sort of I saw an advert for it and I subscribed. Never read it before. I'll occasionally look at the website, and it arrived. I've got 3 issues now. I'm still on issue 1, but I've been pleasantly surprised by how good it is. There's a lot of adverts in it, which is a bit annoying, but just having something, you know, like a hard copy of literature related to gadgets and tech, and just, you know, reading it whenever you feel like instead of firing up the computer all the time. I'm quite impressed, and I'd like to recommend that to people if they want to maybe pick up an issue, see what they think.
And if Wired want to sponsor us next time, we'd really appreciate that. No, I've got, joking aside, I've subscribed as well. It's great toilet reading. The less said about that, the better.
I just bit my tongue there. I was going to say something.
That's unlikely. That will change. So let's.
Okay, so those are our recommendations then.
Yeah. I think we should draw a close.
Yep. A few items maybe to point our listeners to before we close.
Yeah, so where to find us? The website is www.digitaloutbox.com, and our Twitter account is Digital Outbox as well, so follow us there.
Yep. You can email us at, what's the address again? Is it info@digitaloutbox.com?
info@digitaloutbox.com. Just trips off the tongue.
Digital Outbox.
Which you definitely take credit for. That was a great name you came up with.
Well, I think it was a bit of a back and forward sort of debate that we were having.
Too long.
But anyway, we don't want to discuss that.
If we want to see more about you, where can I find... You've got a blog, haven't you?
I've got a blog, it's called ShaquilleNaim.com. I guess we'll provide you with all the links in the show notes.
So there'll be show notes on the website, and I'll put all the links in that.
Other than the blog, I've got, you can follow me on Facebook. How do you provide links to Facebook for your account? Because it's not like Twitter, is it? You can't just say Twitter.
They're talking about those vanity accounts coming out, so you can try and grab like Shaquille. You know, facebook.com/Shaquille, but I'll put the link in.
Yeah. You can also follow me on Twitter, so Ian will put the link up on the show notes.
Yeah.
And your blog is
iand.net. And Twitter account is Sweeper. Which is also my gamer tag, so if anybody wants to add me on Xbox Live or PS3, you're very welcome. And I'll cuff you at FIFA.
I too have an Xbox account.
No, you don't.
But, well, we're still active.
Oh, I've deleted you now.
It's not, they don't cancel.
No,
it.
I've deleted you.
Have you? You work for Microsoft then, do you?
No, I mean, I've deleted you off my friends list.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay.
It was a sad day, but I brought myself to it.
Okay.
So,
that's it then, I think.
That's episode 1. It's been too long yet again, but we'll get there. So, thanks for listening. One thing I wanted to say was we've not really got a schedule worked out. So we know it's going to be weekly. We don't know whether it's going to be like, you know, every Monday, every Thursday, every Tuesday, but once a week, subscribe on iTunes, and I'm sure the podcast will come through nicely for you.
Yep, and please do send us your comments, positive or negative, and if you have any suggestions of how we can improve this for you. Or if there are any like topics you'd like us to cover. I mean, I think another thing we could probably try in the future is, other than the podcast on our website, we can put up little tutorials for certain things that people maybe aren't clear about.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely want to try some of the kind of video screencast type things.
Mm.
But just need a bit of time, really.
Yep. Okay, then.
Yep, I think that's us. So, thanks for listening. And
farewell.
Cheers.
And, hopefully see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.